today is going to be a little different. It may be more different than I thought at all. I see now why Moses said, throw the tablet. Kevin, can you look in my bag and grab my MacBook, please? So today we're going to do something a little different. We're just going to talk today. Got a few scriptures that the Lord put on my heart. And if we were going to title this sermon today or this study today, it would be called Promises. It would simply be called Promises. And I think that, and the reason that I gave everyone the handout was because, or had the handout handed out. If you didn't get one, you need one, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Praise God. And the reason that I went this route is because I believe that sometimes the people of God walk around in a defeat. You can take that one from me. Thank you. Walk around in a defeat that we ought not walk around in. We've got some down here, my beloved. Yeah, thank you. We walk around in a defeat that we ought not walk around in because of who we are. And once we begin to understand who we are, we begin to understand what we have hold of. Amen. And so I think that if I see another committed, depressed Christian, I will lose my mind. Now, I want to explain what I mean by that, because we all go through some things that cause different feelings. Amen. And puts us in different situations and mindsets. And I understand that. But when it is that we have this great gospel that we have, the Lamb of God, our Savior, then depression shouldn't be something that has a continual stronghold on your life. Amen. And let me tell you something from a person that deals with depression. I'm not speaking from something that I don't know anything about. I'm speaking from something that if the devil had his way, I would be off on 12 different medications, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you understand? If the enemy had his way, but he's not able to have his way simply because, and I'm not different from anyone else, but simply because I put my trust in God's promises. Amen. This is the way to put your life in his hands, to accept his promises as good as done. The seasoned saints used to say you could take it to the bank. Amen. Amen. So the first scripture that I want you to look at is Jeremiah 29:11. And first we're going to deal with this in the New King James Version, and then we'll jump on down to a couple of other versions that I thought was important, because what I want to do is I want to make this very simple today. I'm not deep into any theology or anything like that. I just want you to leave here knowing and remembering that there are some promises, and there are many, many more promises in the Word of God than the couple that I'm going to give you today. But if you begin to believe and stand on and trust in God with all of your affairs, I promise you everything changes around. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that things ain't the same. It doesn't mean that you won't have things coming against you, but the difference will be now that is the perception in which you see what it is that's coming up against you. All of a sudden, I don't know about nobody else, but when I got in the Word, my giants didn't seem so big no more. When I got in the Word, the mountains became movable. You understand what I'm saying to you. And so Jeremiah 29:11-14, and we'll first read it through the New King James Version. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You hear that? That's God saying, I got a plan for you. So with the knowledge of that, we know that we can trump our plans. We can throw our plans out the window because he's got a plan, and his plan is the perfect plan for us. Amen. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Isn't that exciting that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great I Am, will listen to us? Amen. "And then you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all." And I highlighted that or boldened that. "When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to a place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. Now, I want you to look at that in verse number 13. It says all. Somebody say all. That means all of it. Amen. He says, and when you seek me, you will find me and you will search me with all your heart. Now, we've been trying to figure out because, hey, for the most part, I keep the word. That's what we say, right? For the most part, you know, I go to church. I go to Bible study sometimes. You know, I read. I don't cuss. I don't drink no more. Don't smoke no more. We line our thinking up with things of this nature. But the reality is that doesn't necessarily mean it's all. In the 21st century westernized church, one of the problems that we deal with, I see on a daily basis, is that we pick and choose what parts of the word that we're going to keep. And so as a consequence, we don't have the promises of God because we're not operating fully in the word of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so we've got to get out of this mode or this mode of thinking that I'm going to keep the word as long as the word doesn't inconvenience me. Let me tell you something, baby. The cross will inconvenience you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The cross will inconvenience you. And thank God that we've got a gospel that when it confronts us, when we read it, it does not leave us the same as we were before we read it. Thank God that when you read the word of God, there is some conviction that goes forth that when by the time you put that gracious book down, you're saying stuff like, I can't do this no more. What would be the gift of the word of God if it left us with the ability to stay the same? If it didn't offer us a greater us on the strength of him and his blood? You understand what I'm saying to you? So it's kind of like when we don't keep the word of God, it's kind of like, and I've talked about this before, it's kind of like when we go to the doctors because we feel sick. You know, we got a lot of little infection or something like that. And the doctor says, hey, you know, you got an infection and I got these antibiotics for you and I need you to take them all. Now, tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of y'all got some antibiotics in your medicine cabinet from 6 months ago, a year ago, because you took them up until the point that you felt better? But the doctor didn't say that. He said, take them all and you'll be better. You understand what I'm saying to you? So think about this. As many pill bottles as you done threw out with pills in them, or you've been keeping for a rainy day in case this just happened to come back, think about all of those situations having a piece of them still in you because the medicine that was prescribed wasn't taken properly. And maybe, just maybe, when we're feeling sluggish, maybe, just maybe, when we got a headache out of nowhere, maybe, just maybe, when our back hurts and we don't know why because we ain't done nothing to pull it, maybe, just maybe, it's all the stuff that's left over, those little bitty things that those last four pills would have cleaned up, that's still there. Can I just say it like somebody that comes from the streets? Residue will catch you a case. You got to clean it all up because residue will get you a felony. Amen? Okay, I got some people that know what I'm talking about in here. Listen, so I want to show this to you in the Amplified, and then we're going to go down, and I got some definitions because the word all, and it's going to be certain words that I've defined for you because I want you to understand the importance of them, okay? So in the Amplified version, it says, for I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. This is the Lord talking to us. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he says, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Can we just be honest in here? You don't have to if you don't want to, but I will. Do you find yourself any times feeling hopeless? Okay, so there's a problem with that because right here in Scripture, this tells us this isn't the plan of God. So if we are feeling hopeless and we don't feel like we have a good future in front of us and it's just crazy right now and it's crazy all around me and it's been crazy for years and it's probably going to be crazy till I leave here, then that means that you are operating in your plan and not God's. For I know the plans and thoughts I have for you. Remember Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's polite way of saying, we don't need your thinking. So hold on, you mean I ain't allowed to think for myself? Sure you are. As long as how you think for yourself is in alignment with the word. Catch this, not the pastor.
See, some of you think that you are bowing to the pastor. You're not. I'm bowing to the word. You understand what I'm saying to you? So when he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, then Jesus ain't full of depression. Jesus ain't full of anger. Jesus is not full of brokenness. Jesus is not full of all of these negative attributes that we operate in on a daily basis and still claiming saved. From what? From what? What could you possibly be saved from if you are still struggling and being overwhelmed by the things of the world, like when you was in the world, now that you're over here on the kingdom side? What are you saved from? So check this out. He goes on in verse number 12, and he says, then you will call on me, and you will come pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Lord, have mercy. How many of you would just, you know, give a few dollars for somebody just to listen to you? So some of us are connected to people that we deal with on a daily basis. It could be your wife, your husband, co-workers, whatever, and the problem in the relationship is just somebody won't listen. But the great I Am says, then you will call on me and come pray to me, and I will hear your voice. I know it's you. You're my child. I know it's you. And not only will I hear your voice, I will listen to you. Then with deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity. You can't get a car to run without a battery. It is the battery is the vital necessity for the automobile to run. So God is saying, I don't just want you to seek me. I don't just want you to come to church. I don't want you to just take notes at Bible study. I want you to seek me as a vital necessity. I want you to see me as something that you cannot do without. I want to be a lung in your life. I want to be a heart in your life. I want to be something that you cannot do without. I want to be the only thing that you can't do without. He says, and when you require me, Lord, have mercy, when you require me as a vital necessity, and he says, when that happens, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart. There's that word again, all. Not most of it, not the majority of it, not 98% of it, because the 2% have you messed up. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says, I need you to search me with all of your heart. And this is the problem in Christendom. We have decided how much of our heart we are going to commit to him. Oh, Lord. And so we say, this is how I'm going to walk, and this is what I'm going to do, and I don't care what the pastor say, and I don't care what such and such say, I'm grown, this is what I'm going to do, and you're struggling. You're struggling. That's why this mind should be in us that was in Christ Jesus, because this mind that I operate on my best day without him, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says, so when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you. When? When you search for me with all of your heart, says the Lord. This is the Lord talking. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will free you and gather you from all the nations and from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord. Lord, have mercy. When we think about sin, it separates us from God. Amen. And so when you think about separate, sin drives you away from God. It breaks the connection between us and God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so he says, listen, when you search for me with all your heart, when you call on me and you seek me as a vital necessity, you understand what I'm saying to you? He says, I'm going to bring you back from the places I drove you. I'm going to bring you back, watch this, into my presence. Lord, have mercy. And if you've ever been in the presence of God, you know that there is no sweeter place than you can be. And it's something about when I mess up or when I trick it off or when I forfeit the presence of God. Look, you can take my car, you can take my clothes, you can take my money, but Lord, don't ever take your presence away from me. Lord, have mercy. And so he says, I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from where I sent you into exile. Yeah. Why am I over here with this great gospel so sad? Could it be that we are in exile due to the choices that we continuously make? Exile. Lord, have mercy. I want to take it to you from the Message Bible. Eugene Peterson, may he rest in peace and God be happy with him, wrote the Message Bible. And it says this, I have it all planned out. This is the Lord's plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Isn't that marvelous? We finally find someone that won't abandon us. Watch this, even in our worst, even in our worst. I heard somebody say that people will leave you over what they heard, but God stays with you even with what he knows. Lord, have mercy. He says, when you call on me, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious, did you hear that? When you get serious, let me say it again. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. Now, this is powerful right here, right? Okay, he says, when you get serious, somebody say serious. Now ask yourself a question. How serious are you about the things of God? Lie not to yourself. Just be real. To your own self, be true. How serious are we about the things of God? What? Maybe just ponder over your last week. Now, how serious are you about the things of God? Ponder over the last 2 weeks. Now, how serious are you over the things of God? You see, and it matters. It matters because it matters to him. The investment was far too major for us to think we could do it any way we want to. He says, I need you to seek me with all of your heart. Lord, have mercy. And then he says, and when you get serious about me, about finding me, when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, you want me more than you want your wife. You want me more than you want your husband. You want me more than you want your kids, your grandkids. When you want me more than you want the raise. When you want me more than you want the house. When you want me more than anything else. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and don't lie because you're in church, because God know. All my married ladies, how many of you want your man to love you more than anything else in the world? That's a simple question. Amen. Come on, let me see. Now, how many of you? Go ahead, put your hands up if it's true. Uh-huh. That's sweet, but it ain't biblical. And if he loves you more than he loves God, then he can treat you. Woo. And that's some of the problem with some of our married couples in the church today. Amen. We you more important to me than him. You see, but God is, you know, it's kind of like, and so then when he go crazy, you go crazy too. Oh God. A preacher by the name of Francis Chan, he explained it like this. He said marriage is like when two people jump into the sea and they got oxygen tanks on. And when one's oxygen tank goes out, the other one keeps swimming. The other one might be going crazy, right? Because, you know, it's losing air. But the one with the tank on is still operating in a place of peace. See, that's what happens in marriage. We put so much precedence into our spouse. We put so much, you know, stock in our spouse that and, you know, and we mold them to be the way we want them to be. But the problem becomes when you don't want to be that way you are no more. And so we put all of this stock into them, and God is saying, so that's your God. He's your God. She's your God. Single people, whatever you're picking over God is your God. Anything that you are picking that is sinful is your God, especially when you know you're wrong. Oh, man. So he says, watch this. Uh-oh, here goes the promise. I'll turn things around for you. That's what happens when you want me more than anything else. When you're serious about seeking me, about me being in your life, he says, I'll turn things around from you. I'll bring you back from all the countries to which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. Watch this. You can count on it. You can count on it. There is not a believer in here that has fallen short, that has at one time or another sinned and came back to God, repented and came back to God, and they'll tell you that God turned it around. He doesn't keep score. He doesn't keep a grudge. He loves you past what you've been through, but you've got to seek him. You've got to be serious about him, and you've got to want him more than anything else. So, I want us to look at these words real quick, and I promise I'm almost done. The word all, you saw it highlighted in your notes, and it says, it means whole, entire, total. It means including everything or everyone without exception. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. You got to write, if you got a pen, mark out the everyone without exception. We don't need nobody else. This is personal. This is between you and the Lord. Amen? So, whole, entire. He says, when you seek me with your whole, entire, and total, he says, including everything. That's how I want you to seek me. Don't leave nothing. Don't leave nothing to the world. Don't leave nothing to the enemy. I want you all in with me. Now, 2024, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in a Baptist church, and you know, my uncle was the pastor, and I say this all the time. A lot has changed since I was 10 years old. I'm 53 now. A lot has changed since I was 8, 9, 10 years old because back then you saw saints that wanted God more than anything. Today, we'll pick a TV if it's big enough over God. If the show is good enough. Lord have mercy. We ain't coming to Bible study. If I've got all these other things popping, you understand what I'm saying to you? We're not coming to church if I got this popping off because this is more important than my relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? My grandmama used to say, my Gigi used to say, did you go to school? Yeah, then you going to church. She tell my mama, did you go to work? Yeah, you going to church. It amazes me how we can do everything else but come to church. And we sit back like we don't understand that God is watching it all. Watching it all. Lord, have mercy. Listen, here's the next word. Vital necessity. You've seen that in your notes, right? And it means necessary for success or continued existence of something. Now, how many of you want to have joy? How many of you want to have peace? Oh, boy, let me tell you, I've lived a little bit, and you can have everything else. Just don't take the peace and the presence, amen? So let me just say that again. How many of you enjoy a little peace? You want peace in your life? He says, so get this. He says, it's necessary that you seek me as a vital necessity to have one of the fruits of my spirit. Peace, joy, love. Because anytime that you do love outside of God, it becomes demented. Love ain't never supposed to hurt you. Unless love is handled wrong. Or, get this one, unless it was never love at all. Lord have mercy. He says, a vital necessity, necessary for success. If you want to be successful in this Christian walk, you have to require him as a vital necessity. You will not make it in this walk if God is not your everything. Do you hear me today? A lot of us have been trying to figure it out. Why ain't this working? I mean, I come to church. That's all you do, though. Just come to church. He says, I want you to come to me. And I want you to seek me as a vital necessity. So when sin, Lord have mercy, so when sin presents itself to you, your understanding of me being a vital necessity, you say I'm good. I don't want that. Because I don't want anything to break up. Because in order for me to live this life the way I'm supposed to, in order for me to train my children as a true Christian, I've got to seek him as a vital necessity. And I can't let anything get in the way of that. Amen? Yes, and then there's another definition that says God's decree. To officially, and it means to officially decide or order that something must happen. So he says, you know, I'll turn things around for you. And then he says, God's decree. It must happen. Why must it happen? Because he's God and he said so. Because God is not a man that he... So it has to happen. Why? Because my word will not return to me void. My word won't return to me void. It's to officially decide or order that something must happen. So when God decrees something, it's not just a command, it's a promise. Now imagine sitting down with the Savior and you're in a place of repentance, right? And you are telling God, hey, I am sorry. I dropped the ball. I messed up. Ain't no excuses, and I'm looking for you to forgive me. I just need you to forgive me. And God's like, okay. And not only am I going to forgive you, but I'm going to turn things around from which sin turned things that way. My righteousness is going to turn it this way. And then he says something to you like this, and you know how foul you've been. Everybody know how you have been foul and saved. Woo, ain't that tough. I mean, you ever been saved and messed up and knew you was, oh, Lord, have mercy. And then all of a sudden you go into the presence of God and you say, I am sorry. I repent. And you're serious, too. You mean it in your heart. And this is what breaks you down. He says, not only am I going to forgive you, but I'm going to turn around the mess that you caused while you was in your sin. And then he says this, I promise. I promise. Now, if I promised it, be concerned about it. Yeah. If I promised it, you know, you might want to call and check on me. You understand what I'm saying to you? But because this is Abba, Father, you don't got to check on it. It's all good. All right, next verse. Let's go to this one. 1 Chronicles 4:11. What time is it? All right, I got a little time. If my people who are called by my name, and I think I messed up on the numbers there, I'm sorry. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them their sin, and heal their land. Now, you know what I like about that part right there? And I'm sorry, y'all. I should have put 11. I put 14. Y'all know what I like about that part right there? He says, if my people, underline my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Hold up, stop the bus. My ways are wicked, but you still call me your people. Oh, Lord. Ain't that something? He said it, if my people would turn from their wicked ways. That's what it says, right? So this is the God of love. You know, even though you tripping, I love you. Even though you ain't operating right and you acting like you ain't got no home church training, you know, church home training, you understand what I'm saying to you? You still my people. Oh my God. I mean, come on, we got family members that ain't forgave us, right? But God says, and listen, he didn't just say, you bad, like you telling your kid, you just bad. No. He said, he called us wicked, but still his. Now look at the love. You see the love in the olive branch that he extends. If you'll do this, then I'll hear from you. I'll hear from heaven. Huh? Think about that. If you are in any sin right now that's got you overwhelmed and you walking around in shame, right? He says, hey, you my people, just come get it right. Huh? You know, super, you know, spiritually spooky people, you know, you got to do a whole lot of things. But God said, all I need you to do is come say you're sorry and mean it. I just need you to mean it. I just need you to repent. I just need you to turn away from it. Because as you turn away from it, you turn closer to me. And he says this, and he says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many understands that sin will mess up your land? I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Watch, there can be no healing until there's first forgiveness. There can be no healing until there's first forgiveness. Huh? Let's look at this amplified version. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves. Oh, that's a word right there, ain't it? Let me tell you something. You know, and I'm guilty of it. I just cruise past that word humble, right? Because if you need to be humble, that means you operating in pride. Can I show you pride 101? Ain't nobody gonna be telling me what to do. I am grown. If I want to do this, then I'll do it. Despite the word. And it's always amusing to me when, Pastor Roth, you know something about this, when they tell you, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, I'm not. Jesus did. Now what you going to say? And here's where we are in the 21st century, Westernized Church. They'll even get slick about Jesus. Never thought I'd see it. Where folk ain't scared to say whatever when it comes to Jesus. How many of you have said whatever when it comes to Jesus? Let me help you out. How many of you in here are saved and have sinned? And knew it was sin before you did it. Yeah. You said whatever. Oh my God. It's forgivable, but don't act like you didn't do it. You said whatever. This is real. And we're trying to figure out why this thing ain't working out for me. Lord have mercy. All right, so then he says this. Let's go. I want to take a little deeper. He says, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek. Look at this word, crave. My mothers know something about that word, don't you? Crave. If you like me and you 270 up, you crave. Last night, I was craving. You hear me? I was like, White Castles ain't that far away. I'm supposed to be on a diet. Cane stays open till 2. Supposed to be on a diet. Don't act like y'all ain't craved. Don't act like y'all ain't never craved. I'm just honest enough to say it. Yeah. But God says, listen, I want you to crave me. You know, if I picked up my Bible every time I crave some Oreo cookies, I would be a scholar. Think about how many times you've craved for something and went after it. But what if we craved for God and went after him like that? What would we look like then? What would the church of 2024 look like then? If every time we had a craving, we said, I'm giving that craving to God. Let me get in this word. Let me get in prayer. Huh? What would we look like? I'll tell you what we wouldn't look like. We wouldn't look like the world. Amen. He says, crave, require as a necessity. my face. He says, I want you to require that as a necessity and turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sin, and there it is again, and heal their land. There will be no healing until there's forgiveness. Message Bible. I'm almost done, I promise. And my people, watch this, my God-defined people. Okay, so even though he don't turn his back on us, there is a definition for whose he is. My God-defined people. What did Jesus say? Those that love me will what? Keep my commandments. Amen. He says, so I'm not, even though I will forgive the wicked and I call the wicked mine, but there's some people that's a little extreme. They go a little past wicked, and those aren't mine. Lord, have mercy. But for the God-defined people, Lord, have mercy. If they would respond by humbling themselves. And I want you to understand something. God will never require something of you that he's not giving you a grace to do. If you will humble yourself, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. Man, now, has anybody ever come out of sin? Remember when you came out of some sin? And you don't know how, you don't know why, you don't know when it took place, but you was just, you was a mess. And then all of a sudden, a peace came over you that surpassed all understanding. I promise you, you was in the presence then. Has sin ever tore you to the point to where you ain't got no choice but to turn to God? And he says, and so when you turn from your wicked ways, when you turn, I hear you, Holy Ghost. When you turn from that slave driver, I'll be right here waiting on you. Remember the prodigal son? I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to tell him everything that I've done and I'm not worthy and this, that, and the other. And I'm going to go. And he said, and if you remember in the prodigal son, when he saw his daddy and he said all of that, the father never said nothing. He said, go get him a robe. Go get him a robe and a ring. He never, because we ain't got time. You already know what you've done. You already know where you've been. But on the strength that you've decided to come back to me, I'm here ready for you. Lord, have mercy. Imagine that, Paige. God says, I am ready for you. My brother, it's like saying, I'm just waiting on you. We ain't together because of you. We're not in each other's company on the strength of you. Lord, have mercy. But when you're ready, Lord, have mercy. I'll be here ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. Listen, have you ever sat in the presence of God broken? And on the strength of bad decision making, or you know what I'm saying? Some stuff just was out of alignment with God, and for whatever, and you're in his presence and you're broken. And could you imagine? You know, I remember one time my wife said, she was telling me about something and went over to a doctor's appointment, and I was so busy. I had so much going on that day. And I said, Yeah, I feel you. And she sits there and she says, you're not listening to a word I say. I'm saying, are you? And I said, yeah. She said, what I say? And I was like, well, you know, and she got up and walked off. And she didn't speak to me for a few hours. And I had enough sense not to go near her. I'm not scared of her, but I'm just didn't want to go near her. And so when we did talk, she said, I was telling you about something important, and you wasn't listening. Now imagine you have got to the point in your life where things have taken over and they are just driving you crazy. It feels like you're about to lose your mind. You don't know what else to do. And imagine going to God and him say, I'm listening. You know how you know when you're in the presence of God and that he's listening? Because when the things that you're discussing with him, he usually gives you revelation for. He usually will tell you what this is where you went wrong. This is why. You have a, Lord have mercy. He not just listens, but he soothes. I'm not saying that he don't spank us every now and again, because he chasteneth who he loves. But God is so special that you know, my daughter come in one day in the seventh grade, and she had a bad grade, and she was down because of that grade. I mean, she was literally down because of the grade. And I was like, I didn't care. I went off about the bad grade. And what I didn't understand was I had made her feel smaller than she already felt. Aren't you glad that when you come before God and you're repenting and you're serious, and I say serious because everybody, a lot of people think that crying is repentance. That's not. It's a turning of the heart. It's a shifting of the heart. It's not a 360. That takes you right back into sin. It is a 180. It is a slamming the door to sin. You understand what I'm saying to you? And God is so loving that when he sees you are a mess, you done got yourself in, he loves you through it. He loves you through it. It don't mean you ain't going to get spanked. You remember when you used to get them spankings and your mama say, have the nerve to say, it's hurt me more than it did you. I don't see you crying. But do you know that our Father, he don't desire to do that, but so that we are not judged with the world. Lord, have mercy. All right. Matthew 6:33, and we out. Yeah. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all shall be added to you. Now, the Amplified Version says it like this. But first and most importantly. Now, that's important. First and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. Lord, did y'all see that? His way of doing and being right. That just warred against half the room, didn't it? His way of being and doing right. That's powerful. See, because we got our own way, right? You know, we got those ways that we was brought up on. My mama did it like this. My granny did it like this. My daddy did it like this. But that don't mean it was right. I'm sorry. Huh? Man, when I began to get into this book, Pastor, it blew my mind. I was sitting in a prison, and all these people that I thought all my life was saved. I mean, really, you know, like, because they went to church. Then I found out what fornication was. And I was like, oh, Lord. I saw that a lot growing up with people around me. Then I read stuff like, let no profane word come out your mouth. Oh, Lord. Huh? What about that one that y'all read it today? You know, it says, and you will be judged by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Y'all still shiver when you read that one? Ooh, just every word? Every word. Lord, have mercy. So let me finish this quickly. So he says, but first and most importantly, it is the most important thing to seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom. See, I learned this in prison. I said, what is the kingdom of God? And the preacher said, it's his rule over your life. It's his rule. And I was stumped, his rule. And he said, yeah. See, you can't run your life if God's the ruler of it. Once you become a kingdom disciple, then you have to play by the manual, not your own definition of what saved is. You see? And I don't know about anybody else in here, but when you sit back and you think about the things that God tells us not to do, we'd be so much better if we didn't do them. Amen? They made a frightening term up for men. All off the strength of disobedience to God. Y'all want to know what it is? Child support. Huh?
Just being rebellious. Hey. All right, I'm going to read this in the message and I'm out. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers and most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? Did you catch that? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, watch this, so you can respond to God's giving. He says, I don't want you to be so preoccupied with getting that you miss the giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God everyday, I'm sorry, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Now, what else do you want? What else do you want? I said that was the last one. Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. I got one more. I ain't going to read the other one, but I'm going to read this one and we out. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear not, I am with you. Oh, how many of you need to hear that today? Fear not, I am with you. He takes it deeper. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And the word dismayed, watch this, means a feeling of distress or anxiety, typically at something unexpected, stressed out. He says, I don't want you to be dismayed. I don't want you to be stressed out because I'm your God. And since you got me, you don't have to worry. The Bible even says, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, worry about nothing but everything in prayer and supplication. I don't care what they said. I am God. And if I be for you, who can be against you? There's a confidence that the Christian has when he knows or she knows that they're walking their life right. Because everything that he says applies to me. It don't make never mind who got a problem with me. Everything he says applies to me. So stop stressing. I'm trying to get you to relax, Eugene said. Don't be dismayed. All right, I told another lie, and then I'm out of here because I'm going to go to. I want y'all to read them on your own, but I don't trust you. I'm just going to tell you, I don't trust you. So I'm going to say Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Notice the caps on you. Because he trusts in you. He will keep you at perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Wow. Now, you said you like peace. Well, won't you keep your mind stayed on him? So you can, perfect peace. And there's a definition for that. Perfect, having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possibly to be. Lord, have mercy. Now, who don't want a peace like that? Huh? It says it's got everything you require. It's got all the desirable elements. Qualities of characteristics as good as it is possibly to be. That's the type of peace. That's that peace you walk around and be like, I am not studying none of that. Somebody come and tell you some madness and all you can come up with is praise the Lord. How are you going to say praise the Lord and I just told you of some craziness? Because this gives God a chance to show he's God again. Pray, if he did it for me once, he'll do it. Oh. So I'm going to stop there. I ain't finished, but I'm done. And I wrote the rest of it out for y'all to read on your own. Amen. There are some promises. And it don't make no never mind what we've been through. These promises are for us. They're for us. And when you begin to tap into the promises, watch this, you begin to tap into the power.
it's power in the promises. Think about how some of us have been over just the last few months. And then you read a promise from God that says, I will turn it all around. Do you understand? That's a power that you may not have had yourself. Because if you could have turned it around, wouldn't you have? And he says, but I will. And then he says something crazy. I promise. God's decree. It's got to happen because I said I would. Listen, if there's anybody in the building today that has not given themselves over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we offer you the invitation to come on down. Listen, the most important decision that you could ever make is to give your life to Jesus. If there's some people in the building that have forgotten his promises, that needs him to turn it around, Lord, have mercy. We offer you the invitation to come on down. Life has been uncontrollable. Every time I turn around, it's something else. It's something else coming at me. And the most hurtful part is when what's coming at me is because of me. I could take somebody else messing me up. I could take somebody else, you know, causing me to trick it all off, but when I got to deal with the reality that everything I'm going through is on the strength of me. Well, beloved, that can be hard to bear sometimes. But I want you to understand that we have a God, Lord, have mercy. We have a God that says, I'm listening for you. I'm waiting for you. I'm desiring for you to come back home. I just want you to turn from the ways that turned you away from me. Turn away from all the wickedness and come back home. And not only will I forgive you, not only will I forgive you, I will heal your land. I'll make crooked paths straight again. You'll find joy and peace. Lord, have mercy. Just come back home. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in the building that says, listen, I just need prayer. I just need prayer. We're here for you today. You can come on down. Hallelujah.